This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
It's Festive Friday, everybody, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's December 5th, people. 20 more shopping days until the big day. It's episode 1056, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Friday, looking for the hippest way to start your holiday weekend?
Do you think it's safe for us to be up here? Thank you for making me a part of this.
You eat what you like, I'll eat what I like. Land ho!
I hadn't heard that one.
Good job, Jen.
Jen, can you take that "you eat what I like" and make that into its own bit so I can play that for when Jamie starts on a rant? Keep that one a handy. I'd like to
10 points if you can tell me where that quote came from.
I don't know.
I bet you Jamie knows.
Wait, say it again. I couldn't hear it all that
all right,
great.
Let me play it again. All right.
Friday, looking for the hippest way to start your holiday weekend?
Do you think it's safe for us to be up here? Thank you for making me a part of this.
You eat what you like, I'll eat what I like.
I have no idea. But was that South Park, the other one? Thank you for making me a part of this.
No, the first two little bits there, not including the beginning of it, are from Glenn's very favorite holiday movie ever.
Muppets?
Those are both from the Muppets. Can you guess who was doing the talking?
No.
That was Rizzo Rat.
Okay, Rizzo, that's right.
The last little bit at the piece end was for Yukon Cornelius in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Rudolph? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Jamie doesn't know that one yet. She will in about another 3 years.
Yeah, she'll know that one.
She has to watch Rudolph 25 times every season.
I still watch Rudolph 25 times every season. What are you saying?
The Muppets Christmas Carol is my favorite Christmas movie of all time. I love that. I love that.
You know, we tried watching, and I loved it as a kid, the Charlie Brown Christmas special that they do. And so Chad and I sat down two nights ago, and we're like, oh, let's watch this. Watch it with the baby. You know, we sit down. Lucas is actually watching TV now. We sit down, all snuggled in, and like 5 minutes in, we're like, this sucks. This is terrible. I make it
something
struck
just
by
don't
lightning.
Hold up.
Yeah, I'm like, he was so bored. Lucas was like, you know, picking his at the carpet because he was like, it was just did not grab his attention at all. So it was just one of those things like, oh, wow, totally outgrew this one. Moving on.
He probably loves the Grinch, though, the cartoon. He probably loves the cartoon.
Yeah, we'll love that one. This is the first holiday special we've seen. I'm like, okay, well, that was a fail. Let's see what else we got.
That's funny. Well, Jennifer, what is coming up on this? I've named it, I changed it from Freestyle Friday to Festive Friday for the season. So what's coming up on this Festive Friday?
On today's Kentucky Performance Products Festive Friday edition, our old friend Stephanie Church from thehorse.com is here to chat about her recent article on working horses and donkeys in Africa. Fascinating stuff. And then next up, Dr. Park himself from Park Equine Hospital is here to solve the mystery of the five-legged Belgian. And then, really bad ads, flies through the goalposts amid deafening cheers from equestrians worldwide. So stay tuned for the Friday, folks.
I'll be sick for the 9:30 to 9:45 segment where you're talking about a horse with five legs. I think I'll be out for that.
Dude, this is so crazy fascinating, you guys. If you're listening right now, seriously, I saw this on Facebook and I contacted Jen. I'm like, holy crap, we have got to talk to these people. This is something I have never, ever seen. And it can't be very common in horses because I've never seen it, but it's an extra leg on a flipping horse. So I just had to find out more. So we're going to get Dr. Park on to talk about it. I'm so excited.
All right, very good. Jennifer, do you want to do your Daily Winnie first or last?
Doesn't matter.
Okay, first then, here you go. Jennifer has a Daily Winnie for us today.
My Winnie goes out to Jana, our next-door neighbor, who sent her youngest off to camp yesterday. I know that was stressful because it's her youngest, but I just wanted to say, Jana, that he is 12 years old now. You have done a great job of helping him trust others and become very socialized and enjoy meeting new horses because he's 12 years old and he is her off-the-track thoroughbred.
Oh, my God. Okay, that's hilarious. I thought you were talking about a kid. I'm like, I can't believe Jennifer is, like, reaching out to a mother and talking to her about an emotional thing.
No.
No, I'm sorry. Sugar is her kid.
Keep dreaming that, Jamie. Keep dreaming.
I was like,
Sugar
oh, my
is
God.
Her kid.
I like, she's so, like, reaching out to a mother. She's getting compassionate for, like, humans these days. It's crazy. That's awesome. And then, nope. Psych.
Nope. No, not happening. Sorry, Jamie.
I was like, you have to camp in December.
Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to Dr. Wendy and Dr. Kyle, Wendy Ying of the Driving Radio Show. She has a company called Five Elements for Animals. It's their vet practice in Sarasota. Well, it was announced yesterday that they won the 2014 Best of Sarasota Award. You know how cities do the Best of Awards? Well, they won the Best of Sarasota Award in the veterinary category. So they are named the best vet of Sarasota for 2014. Isn't that cool?
That's awesome. Awesome, awesome.
Yay! So good job to them, and they get my Daily Winnie. That's very, very cool. And I know because she's very busy now, and it's hard to get time to do the show.
Here you go, Wendy.
Yay! Good job, Wendy. And Kyle, and Dr. Kyle. All right, your turn.
Well, this also is appropriate. Because unlike my friend Jennifer here, bless her heart, I am going to give a Daily Winnie to a parent. Robert Grantham, our listener, and his wife Megumi, they just went in and announced that they're having a boy. It's a boy.
Oh,
well. It's a boy.
Yay.
So congratulations to them. Now, I just wanted to talk to Robert real quick because I know he listens to every episode. Robert, listen. The time has progressed to where your wife is big and uncomfortable. You're uncomfortable from, like, day one. But seriously, once you start getting this big, you start to get uncomfortable. So I just wanted to give you just a few short pieces of advice because, like, you don't hear enough of it when you have somebody pregnant. Rub her feet all the time. Anytime. Actually, just from the knee down, rub that all the time. We're not used to carrying this extra weight. It's really uncomfortable, and our feet hurt all the time. Make sure that the house is still stocked with her cravings. I mean, first trimester's over, that's the crazy cravings. Like, mine was Pop-Tarts and V8. Put them at mass together. That's disgusting. I can't touch a Pop-Tart now. But, my God, I ate 16 Pop-Tarts a day and drank 4 cans of V8 every hour. So, whatever, you know. But make
sure
you
eat the Pop-Tarts raw, or did you have to toast them?
Oh, raw. Just the,
raw,
the
yeah.
brown
Toasting
sugar raw Pop-Tarts. I was like, you know, there's just too much work. I liked them better toasted, but it was just it took too long. You need to tell her one very important thing. You need to tell her she looks pretty all the time. All the time, because we do not look pretty. We are disgusting, and we know it. But you know what? It's just lie. Just lie and tell us we look beautiful. My husband told me I look beautiful every day, and I wanted to cry because I did not feel beautiful. I needed to tell her. The final piece of advice I'm going to give Robert is if she says she's thirsty, oh, I'm so thirsty, get up and get her a drink right then. Do not wait because, number one, it's really hard for a pregnant woman to get up. And also, we're kind of tired of asking for stuff because you need help. And it's really hard to ask for help. So if she says, oh my gosh, I'm so thirsty, or she looks thirsty, or you happen to pass by the kitchen because we're thirsty all the time, pregnant women, then get her a drink. It doesn't matter what it is, water from the tap. It doesn't matter. Just make sure you always have a drink available. And then, of course, you'll have to pee like every 5 seconds. So that's part of it, too. So she'll need a foot rub once she sits back down. But drinks, tell her she's pretty, make sure the house is stocked with cravings, and rub her feet from the knee down all the time. There you go. That's my day. Congratulations. It's a boy.
Well, congratulations, Robert. So they're having it over the winter, I assume, in the next couple of months. I don't know how pregnant she was.
Yeah, I don't know. From looking at the he posted pictures of the ultrasound, and it looks pretty far along. So, you know, you could kind of make out stuff. So I'm assuming it's, you know, within the next 3 months, maybe. I don't know. Hey, another thing is happening.
Yeah.
Wait, sorry. Go.
No, go ahead.
It was a totally different. I was changing the subject completely.
Okay.
So. Today is the day, Glenn. Today is the day that my family gets a little smaller. I'm kind of sad and I'm kind of excited, but Boomer is heading to the airport today. Boomer is heading off.
Oh, Boomer's going to his new home?
He is. I actually, directly after this show, I am putting him in the truck and we're heading to the airport. I've got a babysitter to come because I couldn't do the baby and the dog in the airport all at the same time. So some babysitter's coming over. And Chad has to leave for work like early, so he's not even going to be able to go with me. So, yeah, got everything ready, went to the vet yesterday, got the health certificate, got all the shots he needed, and we are heading to the airport, and Boomer's flying off. I've already messaged all night long. They're so excited. The people that own the new farm, that own the farm that he's going to, are like, oh, we're going to go cut down Christmas trees this weekend. We're going to take Boomer with us. We got a Christmas party at the farm. They're like so excited about spending the rest of their life with Boomer. So it worked out perfect. Not, you know, I wish it would have gone differently, but just last night, you know, we're so sad and we're hanging out with him and trying to spend a lot of time with him. And then he just totally growls at Lucas and we're like, okay, that's why. We're like, yep, there was a reason.
They remind you.
He's being so nice. He's like, just a reminder, it's for the last time that I hate this child.
They remind you. They usually, you know, I think the same thing about our cat every day, and then he does something stupid. And it's like, okay, yep, that's why he's the beast. You know, he gets all cuddly, and he'll sit on your lap, and that's right before he scratches you. So, you know, they remind you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, good for you though for acting all like you're sad about Boomer going away. That's good for the husband's ego.
Yeah, thank you.
Good for you.
Thank
good for you.
You.
He doesn't listen, so we're okay.
Exactly. He doesn't know. No, I'm kind of sad. I mean, you know, Boomer's very frustrating and very difficult to get along with. But you know, we've had him 4 years, and he's just, you know, love him or hate him, he's part of the family. So to have to relinquish part of your family is always hard.
Well,
and
in a way, I think the ones that are a pain in the ass end up having the biggest hole in the house when they leave because they were a pain in the ass. I mean, they were front and center the whole time. So when they're missing, it's a bigger hole than the ones who just lay around and don't do anything, you know? So
true. Very true. But there's part of the annoying parts I will not miss, but I will definitely miss some of it. Like, he's super fun to throw the ball to. He catches the frisbee. He plays in the water. He swims in the pool. Like, he does some really cool stuff, but then there's some really frustrating stuff too. But being the most of that is growling at my child. So he will go to a home with older children and there'll be no toddlers in that house, and he'll be very happy. He's going to be on sentry duty. He's working for a living. He's coyote guard. He's going to love it.
Oh yeah, he's going to have a job. He is going to love living on a big farm like that.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, I think that's what those dogs are made for. You know, that's what he he's going to really, really enjoy having a real job.
Yeah. 3 acres was not big enough for him. He needs the 30.
That's true. 100 would probably do. Well, coming up, our first guest coming up today is an old friend of the show, and she is from thehorse.com. Her name is Stephanie Church, and she just did a expose. I don't know what to call it. It's bigger than an article. It's a feature. They call it a feature, I think. And it was fascinating. I read most of it. I didn't have time to read it all because it is quite long, but I've been following her progress and doing this over the last couple of years and making the trips over there, and I thought it'd be fascinating to have Stephanie on to talk about her work in Africa. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Good. And before we get started, you're leaving right after this call AAEP National Conference, which, of course, is the veterinary conference. That it's the reason that we will not be able to get a vet this weekend to come out for anything.
they might have left a few behind. Who knows?
Where is it this year?
It is in Salt Lake City.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it's also known as the place where veterinaries go to party. So is there any partying in Salt Lake City? I don't know. There must be a bar.
Well, I think they found some locations that will host parties and everything that goes along with them. So I do know some businesses don't have alcohol, but others are fine.
Yeah. I was afraid it was going to be a dry convention, and that was going to be a problem. So, Stephanie, this is amazing. I mean, this is probably one of the longest stories ever done on thehorse.com. Let's start there. But you've spent years doing this. Explain it.
Sure. Okay. So this story is called Beast of Burden, and it's about the horses, working horses in Africa and donkeys in Africa who pretty much work all day, every day to support the lives of people who are just on the verge of middle class. They're still fairly impoverished, but they're just about to get into middle class. And my interest in Africa started many years ago, and I took my first mission trip to Africa with my church in 2009, went back again in 2011, and ended up talking to some veterinarians upon my return who had also been to Africa, but to work with horses rather than people. And we just kind of shared our love for the continent and the people there and just the humanitarian efforts that go on there. And Dr. Paul Lund, who's now the dean at North Carolina State University's vet school, he said, you know what, we're going to get this group of researchers together at some point who all have an interest in working donkeys and horses, and we're going to do it in Africa, and we're going to have this great big summit where we're going to talk about how to solve the problems, and I'm going to invite you. And so, you know, I was like, yeah, sure, that might happen, might not happen. You know, it sounded like it was kind of a pie-in-the-sky thing, and then sure enough, about a year and a half later, he called me and said, hey, we're having this. Do you want to come? And I said, of course. So basically, this is last November. I went to this meeting, and it was basically three days, maybe a little bit more, just among veterinarians and researchers who are trying to solve the problems of these horses and donkeys.
So what are the problems?
Okay, well, this group was gathered to talk about infectious diseases, but you really can't talk about infectious diseases before you talk about just the welfare conditions that they are under there. Basically, their equipment doesn't fit them necessarily. It may be old. It may be, you know, just has sharp edges. They often make harnesses and equipment out of found materials. So you'll see blinders on bridles made out of the water containers that they use to transport water. So those big yellow containers you always see when they're talking about clean water in Africa, they'll cut those up and use those as blinders for the horses that are under harness. So what you end up with is horses who are have sores or injuries. They also might work at speed down roads that aren't cared for very well. The people taking care of them may not necessarily understand how to take care of them properly. And that's probably one of the biggest issues, is what you have is a population of people who have a chance now at getting out of poverty, and they get their hands on one of these horses or donkeys, and they may not necessarily know how to care for it. And so what you have is welfare issues that come from that. So they get a variety of problems from the sores. They get this common fungus, and it's it causes a disease called epizootic lymphangitis. And within this article, you'll see videos and photos of this disease. And basically, it gets into their system and their lymphatics, and they get sores all over their body. They can also get them in their eyes. They can also get them in their lungs, and it creates a welfare issue. Of course, an issue where the horse can't work, and the people are aren't able to make money. And it's also kind of an unsightly thing. You know, the horse gets these sores all over their body.
Yeah, I
look
at the picture.
Smelling. Yeah. And so what you'll see is what I hear. I didn't see this, thankfully, but what you'll see is there's a lot of abandonment among these horses. And, you know, the horses can't work anymore. It smells kind of funny. It's really looking rough. And so they'll just abandon the horse because there isn't just euthanasia right around the corner the way there is here. You can't just call a vet and say, hey, come euthanize my horse. So the horse will, you know, wander off, and often it'll stand down by the roadways because the air circulation from the traffic passing will keep the flies off their sores. So it becomes a real welfare issue, and it's very sad. And people want to do right by their horses most of the time, but you get in a situation where you're trying to care for a horse and you maybe necessarily can't afford it. It can take up to 2 months to treat this successfully, and you have to have the right medications, and it can be expensive.
Well, and as you said, we're not just calling a vet. I mean, because
no.
one there probably isn't one within a certain distance, so that's difficult, and you can't afford it, number two. So there's two things going on there. And we're not talking, we're not talking a small number of horses, donkeys, and mules. We're talking tens of millions in Africa.
Yes, yes. The number off the top of my head, it's in the article. I can scroll up and see it. There are millions. Indeed. And I can remember one of the researchers saying that the donkey line is moving south. And so 4.5 to 6 million in the past decade is how they've increased. And so there's a line of places where people use using donkeys, and the donkeys are just so hardy, and they're so able to move, heavy loads and things, that they're very useful. And so the use of them is spreading southward.
You know, here you talk about a dichotomy in cultures. Here we, obviously we talk in terms of cars. They're still talking in terms of four-legged animals to help. We buy a truck to haul something. They buy a donkey.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole different. It's something that I guess unless you've been there, your pictures really do help with that. But unless you've been there, it's hard to even wrap your mind around.
It is, yes. And the first time, it's funny because the first two trips I took to Africa, I was very much focused on the people. And I would occasionally see horses or donkeys, but I remember seeing some working donkeys in South Africa. And I remember seeing some, upper class riding horses in Nairobi in Kenya. But I don't remember seeing a whole lot of working horses until I went for the sole purpose of, looking at them. And I saw them everywhere. And it was interesting because we went to the donkey sanctuary. There's a place in Debrezet, which is about an hour and a half away from, and I can't say these words very well, but Addis Ababa is the name of the capital city. And so over in Debrezet, there's the Society for the Protection of Animals Abroad. They have a clinic, and so does the donkey sanctuary. I didn't see very many donkeys up close in Ethiopia, but I did see a lot of these horses with this epizootic lymphangitis, and they do have veterinarians at those facilities. But what you have is owners or people who rent these animals from the owners to do the work, who have to take a day off work to bring these horses into the veterinary clinic to have them treated. And so it's time consuming. It's expensive for them. It causes them to lose work, and I can't remember what you asked me, Glenn.
I don't either, actually. How much inroad can you make? Let's bottom line, and because
sure.
I know you have to head off to the airport. You know, what's going to come out of all of this, and is the problem so overwhelming that, it would just take too many resources, it's just not going to happen, or is there hope?
oh, I think there's always hope. And it was really interesting for me to see, I think it was 35 researchers who were there who were all at the top of their field. They organize research. They raise money for research within their various veterinary colleges and organizations, and they also raise money at their various organizations, like nonprofit organizations. So the Brook, SPANA, which I already mentioned, the Society for the Protection of Animals Abroad, the Donkey Sanctuary, and World Horse Welfare were all there and had people representing them and presenting, and they were all talking and sharing the information that they've learned. And it was so interesting for me to see at the end of 3 days just how they were all kind of wide-eyed and, oh, wow, where do we start? This is a lot. This is a lot to process. And one of the researchers sat everyone down for several hours and did a strategic planning session and basically got it all on a whiteboard and got them all talking. And one of the biggest problems is, you know, what the researchers and the people from the Western world might say, okay, this is really a problem. We need to solve this problem. You really have to have the buy-in from the horse owners. We may think that the ugly sores are the worst problem and the uncomfortable horses because of that. But if the owner thinks that the coughing is the worst problem, we need to solve the coughing first. So what you have are some challenges that you have to deal with. And that's the, like, a practical solution. So let's say you're dealing with something where you need to vaccinate a horse. You have to have a cold chain to be able to get the vaccine to the horses without the vaccine going bad. You know, your veterinarian mm-hmm. has a refrigerator in the back of the truck. They might not necessarily have that. So you have to have a technical solution and, like, a way to get the vaccine to the horses. And then you have to, you know, have the buy-in from the horse owners. And it can be tough, you know, but they have basically identified two or three places where they were going to start trying to focus time and energy and research. But the way that you can help these horses is by helping these organizations that are on the ground in the country and helping the horses, you know, hands-on. And that would be those four organizations that I mentioned. And you can see their links throughout this long form.
Well, I got to tell you, the Brook has really gotten out there and started to get the word out here in the United States. It's one I had never run into before. And then all of a sudden I'm seeing it everywhere. Reese Coughler-Stanfield on the Dressage Show yesterday mentioned that she's actually recording a commercial for them today.
Oh, cool.
And Charlotte Desjardins did it over in the UK. Actually, Reese was so excited that she's in the same class as Charlotte in anything. So she was very excited about that. But she's doing a commercial for them over here. And, you know, I just think it's cool that the word's finally getting out and somebody's attempting to take on a mammoth task as this one is. Well, you
it's
can find the article. Go to thehorse.com and you'll see it over there. It's called Beasts of Burden, Targeting Disease in Africa's Working Donkeys and Horses. You have a great time at the AAEP convention there, Stephanie. I know you always do.
Thank you, Glenn. Wish you guys were going to be there.
Okay, it's good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you guys. Enjoy the weather in Florida, okay?
All right, thanks.
Take care. Thanks, bye.
Well, now we're going to go from one health issue on animals in Africa to something a little different, and this is where I leave and come back in 15 minutes, right, Jamie?
No, don't leave. You got to listen to this. This is amazing.
Okay.
Well, Horseside Vet Guide, who has been a sponsor of ours in the past, it's a great app. They post really interesting stuff on Facebook, be it quizzes or what would you do or interesting veterinary cases. And they shared something that was going on at Park Equestrian Vet. And we've got Dr. Park on to talk about it. Good morning, Dr. Park.
Oh, hold on a second. Are you there, Dr. Park?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. We're fantastic. Now, where are you located in the country? Where is Park Equestrian Vet?
Park Equine Hospital. We're located in Lexington, Kentucky. We're on the historic Paris Pike Highway between Lexington and Paris, about halfway between the two cities.
Okay. I love that area. You're in a very, very beautiful place. So, now, still, I don't even know where to start with this because it's just something that's so interesting. Tell everybody what we are here to talk about because there's too many big words for me.
Sure. The we were presented with a Belgian foal, a male. It was approximately 5 months old about a month ago, and he had a what's called polydactylism, or in common terms, he had an extra digit on his front leg. And if you've seen the pictures, he actually had an extra fetlock joint, pastern, hoof on the inside aspect of his right front leg. And this is a pretty rare condition. I've been practicing and doing surgery for 15 years, and it's the second one I've ever seen. I've seen several in bovine and cattle, but in equine, it's pretty rare. So he was presented with that condition for us to evaluate and decide what to do.
Now, Dr. Park, I got to say this. When Jennifer first told me yesterday, I asked her, who's coming on tomorrow morning, like I do every day before a show? And she said, well, we got the vet coming on to talk about a horse with five legs. And I have to tell you, I was relieved to see it was coming out of a leg and not the middle of the belly, which is what I had pictured immediately when she said that. So I got to tell you, I was a little grossed out. I'm still grossed out, but I was really grossed out when I thought about it coming out of the middle of the belly. So I'm feeling better now.
Yes, and it was fortunate it was located where it was, and the big concern with doing this procedure, you don't want to do it just for cosmetic reasons or, you know, anything just to be doing a surgery. The big concern is with a Belgian, as you know, the draft breeds, the feet are, when he reaches adult size, his feet are going to be a very large circumference, and this leg would continue to grow and be large also, and would be probably a hazard for the horse to be there and to maybe, you know, to be in the way of his ambulation and movement and maybe cause injury to him.
So this is on the inside of the front leg, and basically where did the extra limb start? Was it at the carpus joint, the knee, or was it below that?
Yes, it started at the carpus. He had he actually had a cannon bone that started at the carpus. So he had a full cannon bone on the inside of the original good cannon bone, and it was attached to the cannon bone and went down to the right above the fetlock joint and kind of split off to the inside. And he had sesamoids, he had flexor tendons, he had a suspensory. All the extra digit had from the cannon bone down had the normal anatomy that we see on the normal leg.
So, this is just so incredible. So how does one, if you've never seen that before or seen it one other time, how do you go about performing a surgery to remove that?
Well, we kind of, Dr. Bross is a surgeon in my clinic too, Dr. Jose Bross, and myself, we perform all the surgeries, and we put our heads together, and we let a couple other surgeons that have been mentors to us, Dr. Paul Thorpe from Lexington here, and Dr. Warren Beer out of Kansas State, we let them look at the radiographs also, and we all put our heads together and decided the best plan to remove it. And since it had a cannon bone that articulated with the carpus, we decided that we wouldn't be able to take the whole cannon bone out in its entirety. We would have to amputate it kind of mid shaft of the small cannon bone and be able to remove the rest of the structure.
Oh my gosh! So you weren't even able to scrape it off the knee there. Okay, so I think that everybody wants to know, is this like a reabsorbed twin that's in this? Can you do a DNA test on it to find out? How does that work?
I don't think it's a reabsorbed twin. No, I think it's just a mutation that, you know, had an extra digit. I don't know. I don't know how you could find out. I guess I would have to defer that to some geneticists and see if there's any testing available. But I've seen this in cattle several times, and I'm sure other veterinarians have seen it more prevalent in cattle. And you really never have known, you know, what caused it other than a mutation.
Wow. So you do the surgery, you remove half of the cannon bone, so there's still some bone that is protruding, and it's on the inside. Is that going to affect performance? What is this horse's life going to be like?
I do not think that'll affect performance. We took that off, kind of mid to upper area of that, so here's the upper third of the small cannon bone is left, and we performed our removal at an angle. If you look at the radiograph, you can see the angle of the amputation, and I think that will continue to probably grow as his leg grows, but it's on the medial aspect, and I don't think it'll affect his ability to be sound. His life is, you know, he's a draft horse, probably going to be a work type horse and pull or work and used in that facet. He was very sound at the post surgery. So he never showed any soreness or lameness. And we kept him at the clinic for about 2 weeks post surgery to monitor and change his dressings daily. And he did really well. I never really looked back.
Wow. So is this something that as it continues to grow, that later in life he may have to have another surgery to remove the new growing area? I don't know what to call it.
Yeah, I don't think so, no. I think the way that we removed it there mid cannon, I don't think it will ever have to have any other surgery. It's unknown at this time, but to the best of my knowledge and the other surgeon involved, I don't think so.
Now, being that you're in Kentucky and you're in the Lexington area, there are two incredibly famous clinics right near you, being Rudin Riddle and Haggard's. Did you think of presenting or consulting with either one of them? Have they seen this? Have you talked to them at all about this and seen if they've ever seen something like this?
I have not. I'm sure that with their history, maybe they have, but I have not. Had conversation with them.
No, absolutely, and fascinating. Well, we're going to post this on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, and the radiographs are just so incredibly interesting. Now, are you on your way to AAEP as well, and are you going to do a seminar on polydactylism?
Not this year. I attended last year, and I'm not going to attend this year, but maybe that would be something we can do in the future.
Absolutely. They need to know about this. Well, we just had somebody from thehorse.com on, and we should have them give you a call, because this is too interesting for just being on Facebook. You need to have a paper or a statue or something done. My God,
well,
so cool.
It's funny you say that, because I just got a note from Stephanie, who was just on our show, Stephanie Church from over at thehorse.com, and she said to say
yes,
hi. So,
yes, she's been to our clinic and used some of the staff for her articles, and we know Stephanie, enjoy her visits. And if you're ever in Kentucky, we invite you to stop by the clinic. We have a 26-acre complex, and we're open 24 hours a day, and it's a beautiful facility, and we'd love to show it to you.
It is
beautiful.
Well,
we come out every year for Rolex, so you better watch out your invitations, because we'll show up.
We would love to have you, and we really appreciate your interest in the case and the interview this morning, and hope that you have a good holiday coming up. And if we can ever be of assistance to you or your listeners, please feel free to let me know.
Gosh, I do love a good Southern man, Glenn. He's so polite. Dr. Park, you are just so cool. This is fascinating. Park Equine Hospital. We'll post the link to your clinic and to this story on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, because I know it just blew out of the water a lot of people that got to see it. So we'll post all of that on the Horses in the Morning page. And Dr. Park, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
Well, let's continue with our health thread as we hear the Nutrition Minute from Kentucky Performance Products. It's actually Health Friday here on the show.
Yeah, right?
This Nutrition Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, the company that simplifies your search for research-proven nutritional supplements at kppusa.com.
Did you know that easy keepers and horses on restricted diets are often at risk for vitamin and mineral deficiencies? Most easy keepers are maintained on hay, and some get a few handfuls of grain a day, and most of these horses get little to no green grass. Diets that don't include significant levels of green grass or recommended amounts of fortified concentrates just don't supply enough vitamins and minerals. Many horse folks don't realize that hay alone, even high-quality green hay, is not an adequate source of many vitamins. For example, when grass is cut and dried for hay, the vitamins quickly lose their potency. 70% of the vitamin E found in grass is lost in the first week after it is cut for hay. One way to ensure that your special needs horse is getting all the vitamins and minerals he needs is to add a vitamin and mineral supplement to his diet. A well-balanced supplement will provide the nutrients your horse requires without adding unwanted calories, starches, and sugars. Microphase, made by Kentucky Performance Products, is a vitamin and trace mineral supplement that bridges the gap in your feeding program. With Microphase, your horse receives adequate and balanced vitamin and mineral nutrition without unwanted calories or other ingredients. The minerals in Microphase have been chelated, a process that protects minerals during digestion and increases their absorption in the intestines. Microphase provides vitamins, such as vitamin E, in a natural form, so your horse receives optimal results from this supplement.
This Nutritional Minute has been brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. You can find all of their terrific products at kppusa.com.
And you can follow them on Facebook. Just search for Kentucky Performance Products. Well, I thought I would give everybody a break. I've been overloading every day this week on the holiday thing. So I thought I would throw you all a bone, including Jamie, and just do a little peace-loving horses for this Friday from Jared
Yay!
Rogerson. We'll be back. Of course, Really Bad Ads is coming up.
Cowboy and hippie, she's all about peace, love. about two books with different covers, but the pages are the same. It's certain as a river in the spring. You seal a deal with a handshake, that's her philosophy. She can rope and ride, and she likes hanging out with me. She believes that love is the one thing that can't change anything. And she loves me, and that's the part that gets me. She's all about peace, love, horses, and me.
My gosh, I love that song. I have to turn my microphone off during that song because I sing out loud. I love it.
Thank you for turning it off, Jamie. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I could sing it again right now if you want, but I'll sing
no,
it. That's Peace, Love, and Horses by Jared Rogerson. My gosh, I love that song. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to us by Kentucky Performance Products today, and that's kppusa.com. Now, Glenn, I've decided to get a thoroughbred mare. I need one. I need
a
mare.
Okay.
Yes. And I'll tell you why. Because in two different places, there are stallion auctions that are going on for donations. Let's see, I've got one of the stallion auctions is going on like in Lexington, hosted by Tom Durkin. It goes to, all the proceeds go to the Thoroughbred Charities of America. They have their select stallion season auction. It's January 10th. They're going to auction off like all these stallion seasons plus farm equipment and vacations and just one of those, you know, you can never afford any of the stuff that they auction off.
Right.
And then
right.
There's an Iowa stallion auction sale too, and I think maybe we could afford some Iowa horses. So I was looking at the Iowa horses going, okay, who would I, if I had a thoroughbred mare, who would I want to breed to? And I started looking around. They're not just Iowa bred horses. There's like every sort of Kentucky bred on this list. So I'm really thinking, you know, you can go and you can find seasons from stallions like Shackleford and Lindenor. Barbaro's full brother is up for auction as well. The ones in, let's see, here, I've got all of the list right here. It's so many horses, so many different horses that are being auctioned off, including Shackleford from Darby Dan, Regal Ransom from Darley, a bunch of Hillendale, some Lane's End horses. Oh my gosh, so many exciting things. So I'm going to get a thoroughbred mare. Done. Sold.
Now, I assume they're just auctioning off the breedings and not the stallions. Just
yes, breeding. One,
yeah,
breeding.
Okay.
One breeding. One breeding.
Okay.
So, like, miniature. The minimum bid is like $500 for all of these, and well, most of them, because Curlin, I do believe, it's a little more expensive. But they start out pretty low, and then, you know, maybe somebody will overlook Curlin. Maybe I'll be the only person to buy his season.
Well, I see that Tom Durkin, you said, is doing one of these auctions, and of course he's one of the most famous announcers for calling races. So does he call the auction like he calls the race, you think?
I was trying to find that. I mean, I know that he's the host, but if he was the auctioneer, I'd have to go just to watch.
I know.
So cool.
Coming down the stretch.
Right.
We have Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, bidding.
We would never make it as auctioneers. They have schools for that, right?
Yeah, they do. They have schools for that. And as a matter of fact, several of them are in Kentucky. That's where you'll find those.
Shocker. Shocker. Hey,
I was just going to say, auctions were a big thing when we were growing up in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. they have estate auctions every weekend. There'll be 10 different estate auctions. They're a huge thing. When your parents die, you have an auction at the estate. That's what you do. And the auctioneer comes out and auctions everything off. When we closed our business and sold our farm in Pennsylvania, we actually had an auctioneer. It was a 12-hour auction, actually, to sell everything. So, you know, that's what you do, but you don't see that too much. You know, I thought it was everywhere until we moved outside of Pennsylvania, and it just doesn't happen like it happens there.
Really? Well, there's just there's really you've got to have massive skills to be able to do something like that. I mean,
for 10 hours straight, especially at some of these auctions.
I mean,
it's like
how much Red Bull do those guys drink? You know?
That's right. I don't know what they did before Red Bull. No,
that's probably powered by Red Bull. It gives you wings. It's like straight for auctioneers.
Exactly.
Hey, Robin just posted something on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, and she was asking how Edward is doing and how the hematoma on his giant knee is. I'm just giving you an update because you asked. I wouldn't bring it up, but he's doing a lot better, shockingly. I took the bandage off last night. I didn't want him to start to rely on the wrap, so I took the wrap off last night, so we'll go see how it is this morning. But he's on antibiotics and bute, too, so I think that's really helping. We had a ton of rain here yesterday, so all the horses had to stay in. So he wasn't the only horse that was left in the stalls. So he's pretty happy to have company. Yeah. When he's by himself, he just walks the stall and whinnies all day. So when he's had his whole crew, he was able to relax a little bit more. So hopefully I can, I don't know, I'm hoping I can at least hand walk him this afternoon. That's what I'm going for. See how it does.
We have our farm is noisy right now because the neighbor, the one Jennifer mentioned, her daily Winnie, they have two horses that are attached at the hip. Well, one of them went off to camp for training, and the other one has been screaming bloody murder all night. So we're having a little separation anxiety here at the farm. You know how that goes. You need about 3 days, and you hope they don't kill themselves and run into a fence in the meantime. So we'll see.
You mean you didn't put Peachy out there with him and let Scooter keep him company?
No, we didn't, because then Beaker would be screaming all night. So
true.
You know, and this morning, you know, I had to talk about this. This morning I go out to bring them hay. We bring them hay every morning. They each get 2 flakes of hay, and they act like there's been no grass and they haven't eaten in about 6 weeks. So I walk into the field, and they're out together, Beaker and Scooter. Does anybody else have the same problem where it gets really dangerous after you put the first flake of hay down and the two are fighting over it? Like, they don't see you carrying the other piles of hay that you're going to put out, that first flake is the one they want and they have to have. That is until you put the second one down, and then all of a sudden that's the one we have to have, and we're going to fight over that one. Every day we do the same thing. You think they've learned.
This is exactly how Edward got kicked in the knee in the first place, was a stupid pile of freaking hay. As I'm like arms full of hay, just separating, you know, and I put them so far apart. I walked 2 miles with a half a bale of hay in my arm, throwing out flakes here and there and shaking them up and all this and total crap. And they fight over this first pile. And then one gets kicked in the knee. Horses are dumb.
I know. Because that first pile, of course, is different hay and tastes much better. Much better.
Oh, yeah.
Than second
that might be alfalfa. Wait, the second one might be alfalfa. Wait, the third one might be alfalfa. We should chase that one down and fight over it. Yeah, they're stupid.
Do you love the look on their face after you've put the last pile down and they've all gone out and investigated that one and determined that none of them are alfalfa and they have to settle?
Like,
and then they go back to their piles with this dejected look in their face and they just start chewing. And you can tell they're just doing it out of necessity at that point, and there's no pleasure in it.
Oh. Just like, I guess I'll eat so I don't die, but I'm not going to like it because there's
right.
No alfalfa.
That's exactly right.
I hate you. I'm going to buck you off next time you ride me or get kicked in
the
knee.
And we do that 3 times a day with our – go through that whole thing 3 times a day.
They're just very optimistic, you know? They're just optimistic.
It's going to change. I know it's going to be different this time. It's like the dog says, the dog expects it to be better every time. Every time you feed him during the day, he expects it's going to be filet mignon cut up into nice little chunks, cooked perfectly, you know, medium rare, and it's just going to be perfect. And then it's dry dog food. And it's like, oh, but I'll eat it. Well, if you don't want to settle, then there's a place you can go, and that's Equestrian Collections for all of your holiday shopping. I was over there this morning, actually, and they have it laid out so nicely on their homepage because they have gifts for him. By the way, they have a lot of gifts for guys, and that's tough to find. It's tough to find gifts for guys, but they have it laid out, and they have them all there for you, so they're all in one place. You don't have to go looking around the website to trying to find the guy gifts. And then they have winter blankets and gifts for her. They have gifts for kids all broken out, too, into a section. And, I clicked on the gifts for kids because, you know, we all know that there's some kids in your life that you have to get presents for that are horse crazy. And they have like hundreds of them listed there. So if you want an easy place to go shopping for the holidays, then you want to go to equestriancollections.com. Just go to their homepage. It's very simple to get around. It's very easy to get around. And they have some great deals going on right now, too. Check out their sales section where they have the closeouts and stuff, because you're going to find gifts in there for up to 70% off right there at Equestrian Collections. Don't forget about equestriancollections.com for all of your holiday shopping needs.
Wait, you got to go to the homepage on the gifts for him section just to simply look at the cowboy that they have got on the page. Oh, my God. Is he like, does he work there? I'm going to call for live assistance. Hello, I need some help.
For service, please.
Oh, my God. What a dream.
Is he my private shopper?
Yeah. Is he for sale? Can I buy him?
He actually looks a lot like the guy we had on yesterday for Road to the Horse. He looks like a lot like that guy.
Well, Mel, if you click on the Stetson hat, he's like the hat model, too. Good God. Okay, sorry. Move on.
They know who their customer base is at Equestrian Collection.
Woo! Hello.
They're you.
All right.
So now, is there anything we had to do before we get to Really Bad Ads? Did we cover them?
I don't think so.
All right.
Good. Let's do it.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but... hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware.
Horse trading.
They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare.
Horse trading.
Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is time for Really Bad Ads, that time of the week when our listeners submit usually really bad Craigslist ads for us to poke a little fun at. And for that, we give out some terrific prizes donated by terrific sponsors and read by a terrific producer. That's your cue, Jennifer. You're the terrific
producer.
That's my
cue. Prizes this week are provided by JoJo's Socks. From the very start in 2009, JoJo's Socks has been dedicated to performance, functionality, and design. Fast forward 5 years, and now you'll find JoJo Socks' astounding variety of colors and designs in stores all over the world. They have socks just perfect for pairing with English boots or Western boots or Wellingtons or sneakers, and even the Crocs that you wear for late-night barn check. And to top it off, JoJo Socks are and always have been made in the United States of America. Yes, we still make stuff here. And you can find JoJo Socks at your local tax store, or you can visit them online at JoJo Socks. That's JoJOSOX.com. Also providing prizes this week, Willie Bakery. Willie Bakery makes delicious and nutritious horse and dog treats that your furry friends will really enjoy. Each flavor of Willie Muffin's horse treats begins with a mixture of oats, flour, molasses, and water. Special mix of flavors is added for a lip-smacking finish. And by special, we mean really special, with flavors like banana raisin, vanilla, tropical, carrot, graham cracker, watermelon, and peanut butter and jelly. You can find Willie Bakery horse treats at your local tax store. You can visit them online at williebakery.com.
Woohoo! Thank you for donating all those Friday. No, and it's Friday. I just want to remind everybody, it's Friday! Just saying. Really Bad Ads time, and the first one is submitted by Lindsay Rausch, who sent this one in. By the way, Lindsay is doing a book review for us next week, so look for that. 5-year-old stallion $700 in Logansport, wherever that is. Is a Pinto horse very nice? I got seven now, and I don't want any more. Call me. Short and sweet. Pinto,
short and sweet.
Got seven horses, don't want any more, get rid of this.
Right.
So you're basically what this person is saying. I love when they do these ads. What this person is saying is, I got seven horses, and I'm selling you the crappiest. Come and get it. It's the one I don't want.
We don't even know what it is, really. It's just a stallion. We've never even taken the time to geld it.
Pinto, the pain in the ass, got to go. Careful
well,
how you word your ads, people.
Yeah, right. Uta sent in the next one, horse goodie bag, $45. Woohoo! Nicely padded bag with heavy-duty zipper pockets and luggage wheels with retractable handles. Will hold a Western saddle plus everything else you need to care for my horse. Yes, the horse goes with it because he has dumped me for the last time. He and I just don't seem to get along. My loss is your gain. I'll throw in all the tack and blankets for an additional amount, or we can trade something that either does not eat and or poop all day long. Call or text me anytime. Shocked you with that one.
Come get a horse goodie bag. And oh, by the way, here's the horse.
Here's the horse.
He dumped me for the last time. At least he was honest. This is a very honest ad. Oh, and by the way, he's going to dump you, too.
Yeah.
Chelsea sent the following one in. Quarter pony. Wait a minute. I don't know why the title is, but every other letter is capitalized. So it's making it hard to read. Quarter pony boy for sale with papers, $1,200. Happy is a 12-year-old. Happy is a 12-year-old boy quarter pony horse for sale. Wait a minute. He's a boy quarter pony horse. He's a boy quarter quarter. I can't say it. He's a boy quarter pony horse. I didn't know you could register a boy quarter pony horse. That's a new breed. I think
oh
they invented
my God.
It.
Let's read the next line.
Happy is sad because he's been for sale for 2 years and no bites. Bad pun. Happy wishes someone would take him home. Happy's a good boy, and Happy is a fun pony personality. Happy is brown and whitish, the painted kind. Happy
oh
is 14 hands, might be taller, don't know. Thanks for looking at Happy.
Happy clearly is not, well, I just think with your description of Happy, I can't believe he's not sold. Wow.
I know.
He's
I
like
should be. He's
maybe painted whitish brown,
yes.
But 14 hands. It could be taller. I don't know. But he's sad.
He's a good
very
boy.
Sad.
Happy's a good boy. He's a very good boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun personality, too, Happy. You know, maybe the problem is he's $1,200 and you're trying to sell him with an ad that really should be $200. Just saying.
Yeah.
That would probably make him happier if he got out of there. Bethany sent the following in. Wanted for swap, one pony. Hey, Happy. We have a pony for you, Beth. Wanted.
No.
One adorable pony. House training preferred, but not necessary. How many house trained ponies are out there? For a swap, one middle-aged balding husband. does not own black socks, but has trouble changing his underwear sometimes. Help me become an innocent and idealistic again by fulfilling my childhood dream while also helping me avoid a garage sale, the most embarrassing story.
Okay, let me read this one because this is too good for you to stumble through it. Wanted for swap, one pony. Wanted, one adorable pony. House training preferred, but not necessary. For swap, one middle-aged balding husband does not own black socks but has trouble changing his underwear sometimes. Help me become innocent and idealistic again by fulfilling my childhood dream while helping me avoid a garage sale of the most embarrassing sort. So basically, she hates her husband and he sucks,
yeah.
And she wants a pony instead.
She wants a pony.
That's awesome.
You know what? I think we get happy. She'd be happy with happy, right?
That's true. That's true.
A good boy.
And just like the lady that's selling the bag with the horse, she could sell some of her stuff and send the husband with her.
You
take
get
it,
the couch.
Take it all.
That's right.
Yeah.
You have the couch,
you get,
too.
Yeah. It's just like when you give away your dog. He comes with his bed, a bag of his food,
right,
and his favorite outfit. Yeah.
And a clean pair of underwear. You can change it once.
Shelly sent in the next one. Shelly's in the next one. Big horse to sale. Only $700 for a Gras T. Mar. $800 in Little Rock.
Gras T. Mar.
I don't know what Gras T. Mar is, but it sounds good. I have a big mare for sale. She stands at a boot 19 hands tall and has long legs.
That's a big one.
That's a big one. Has not been saddled by me yet, but I got her from someone who did, comma, dot, dot, dot. She is big horse who can jump 6+ feet high.
Wait a minute. Let's review before you go any further. It's a 19 horse hand horse that jumps 6 feet. Well, just clarifying. Okay, go ahead.
This person is a little bit on the exaggerative side, but, you know, never let details get in the way of a good story. So we're going to keep going with this. She is big horse who can jump 6+ feet high. She would make a grotte jumper and maybe a good horse, comma, 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 trailers and lounges, but not good on X ties. Dot, 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 dot. She will stand to be groomed in the pasture, though. Make me an offer. We'll trade for one or two of those teacup pigs. That's new.
I love how she says we'd make a great jumper and maybe a good horse.
Yeah, maybe. And it's G-R-A-T-E. So basically, we've got a 19-hand-tall mare that jumps 6 feet tall, but she just wants to trade him for two teeny tiny little piggies.
Okay.
Shelly, that's
Shelly,
a good one.
Shelly, you get a prize for that one, that's for sure.
That'd be great.
Robin sent the following one in. Percheron Gelding, $1,500 in South Austin, Texas, I assume. 16.3 hand, 1,500 pound, 9-year-old gray, rides and drives, good size saddle mount for bigger rider. Easy to bath and stands well for farrier. Has natural pasture wear barefoot currently. Got that. Tail has not been docked. We are not a riding stable, so bring dollars and trailer and take him home and try him.
What?
You're not even allowed to try him at the property. Bring your money. Take him home to try him. Can't try him here. That's a first. If you don't like him, bring him back within 24 hours the same way as he left to receive a refund.
Oh, my God. I've never seen that before, ever. Get him the hell off my property so we can move by the time you get back. And we're keeping your money. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Because to the three last people that have come out of all broken bones and they had to call the ambulance, and it was just a pain in the ass. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Take him home.
Oh, my gosh. I've never seen that before. That's crazy. Nobody ever does that, ever. Oh, my gosh. All right. Ellen sent the next horse trailer in, and she said that it can... This is a horse trailer / zombie apocalypse bunker.
That's true.
Horse trailer, $400. Single horse trailer has front compartment, spare tire, and new floor. Has fair bias ply tires, trails great. Would make a good 4-H trailer for calves, goats, etc. Must sell going to the service. Bought it in Dayton, Ohio, and made it a great trip home. It honestly has been in our wooded area for only 3 days. Call or text.
Yeah, okay. If that's true, why has everything grown up around it?
I know. If it's been in there 3 days, you guys really need to rethink how, like, what's going on in your woods, because it is crazy growth back there. That's so funny.
And it does. It's painted black, hand-painted black, I might say, probably with a paintbrush. And it does look like a zombie apocalypse bunker. It looks like something. It has a little slits in the side. That's where you put the crossbow through. So
I was going to say, doesn't that look like an armored vehicle where they have the holes to for the guns to go through and shoot things?
It looks
That's like the only opening. It's hilarious. I've got the next one too, and I read this to Chad because I was like, I found this one and I was thinking, is this funny? And I couldn't even get through it reading it to him. So I'm going to keep myself together here. So I found this on Craigslist. here we go. It's all capital letters, but I'm not going to yell. Looking for a beautiful Xmas present. We can hold this nice bunnies for you to pick up for Christmas.
Aww.
This bunnies are family raised and pet at least once a day, so they will not scratch you or your kids. Our kids love them. They're also good for meat. What? All are very well taken care of daily. Nice, healthy, and loved, and large for meat. Rehoming fee of $25. What is up with a rehoming fee? These records are for sale, okay? Rehoming fee of $25. These rabbits are mainly raised for pets, .. and meat. They are great meat producers. All parents are not related, so you can start your very own rabbitry. Call or text. Oh, my God! Your poor children! Oh, Mommy, what happened to Flopsy? Well, you ate him for breakfast. He's the bacon. Oh, my God! That's hardcore. It's not like I live in the middle of nowhere where they, like, have to survive on a farm. Like, this is Phoenix. Like, there's no reason for this. I'm going to kill your bunny. Yeah, we ate him.
I got to love to how they were covering their bets in every paragraph. They could have just said, or for meat once, but it was nice family pet for meat. Well taken care of for meat. I mean, every one of them was qualified.
Healthy and loved and large for meat.
And large for meat.
God! Heartless. Poor children. Merry Christmas. Your bunny's dead.
Bunny's due for Christmas. I think every family has to have a bunny once. We had a bunny, too, and he was fat. He definitely could have been used for meat. Beth sent this one in. Sale or trade land, moor, and horse saddle. Sale or trade land, moor, and horse saddle. $1 in Asheboro. Horse saddle, $150 lab moor. I try to make a go-car, but I can't put it together. Make offer. I pay $367. Com or text.
Wow, that's a really bad ad. I don't even know what the hell they're selling or buying. Does anybody understand
that? I think he tried to make a go-kart, but I'm not sure how that came into the ad selling a saddle. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. We almost need to post this one and write that it's a really bad ad and ask people what they think this is, because this is like the hardest one to translate.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
See, we want the translation of this ad because we have no idea what it says. That's a really bad ad.
It's a really bad ad. I don't even know what the hell they're talking about.
Do you
want to
save the next one for next week?
Yeah, let's do it.
I
got
to get
out
to the airport. Yep. All right. Well, let's see. I think that there for that, that's one of the worst. If we have to ask for a translation on Facebook, that's a bad ad. So let's give the socks from JoJo Socks to Beth. And then the other one I really liked was Shelly. Yeah, Shelly's with the
6-foot jumper.
6-foot jumper. And they're going to get the Willie Bakery. So that's how it'll come down. And thank you to both of the sponsors. We really appreciate it. We'll be back here Monday morning. You all have a terrific weekend. Jamie is off to the airport, so we'll let you do that. And great show, talking about all kinds of health issues, including 5 legs. Thank God it wasn't coming out of the belly. I would have been out. I wouldn't have hung around for that. We'll see you all on Monday.